This is Jonathan Armstrong from Duane Morris. I'm speaking to you today live from London for our Tech Law 10 weekly podcast on the week's most critical technology law issues. And Eric, you're with me as well.
This is Eric Sinrod. I'm pleased to say I'm also alive and live in San Francisco, Duane Morris office. Thank you for having me.
And you've been, irritated, intrigued, concerned about the threat to the majesty that is the U.S. nation by Gmail and China?
Well, I'm not sure I would use those particular words, but I'm certainly interested in reading the press reports, as many of us have, with respect to the Gmail hack likely from China cyber attackers. According to press reports, Google revealed earlier this week, actually yesterday, I believe, that unknown hackers likely originating from central China, tried to hack into the Gmail accounts of hundreds of users, including senior U.S. government officials, Chinese activists, and journalists. And Google has said on its official blog that these particular hackers who might have come from Jinan, China, recently tried to crack and monitor email accounts by stealing passwords, but that Google apparently has detected and disrupted the campaign. And apparently victims and relevant governments have been so notified by Google. I will point out that Google share prices have slipped to some extent in the wake of this event, although they're still at a healthy, $525 a share, about in that range. But we have to sort of think about, what this means in terms of email use going forward, in the workplace, at home, and the like. What to do about cyber attacks. Could there actually be real-world military retaliation if there are cyber attacks that actually ever emanate from an enemy government, let's say? So those are issues to consider. What are your thoughts right now, Jonathan?
I spoke at an event last year with Bruce Schneier, the well-known security email analyst, if you like. And I think I'm with Bruce on this. I think Bruce thinks that a lot of it is old news dressed up as new news. I think the fact that Google are reporting the hacks is news, but hasn't it been going on forever? I mean, it seems there was a WikiLeaks cable, I think, about this, where apparently the system was so widespread it even had a U.S. State Department code name ascribed to it. Apparently it's called code name Byzantine Hades by U.S. investigators. And it seemed to me this is certainly a story that's been going the rounds for months, if not years. I guess my take on what's new is firstly the fact that Google are telling people about it, and secondly, I wonder what effect this will have on corporate networks, because it seems to me that it's fairly prevalent now that people either are given access to the corporate network at home, or they will email stuff to themselves at home to work on and then email back to their work account. And I wonder if this in terms of government, I think it's worrying, but also, is there a more wider effect on corporations as well, Eric?
Good points, and multiple points there. It's true, this has been happening, and this isn't completely new. Apparently, there are reports that, Google faced an attack about a year ago that was traced to China, and that actually triggered a highly charged debate over China's censorship and rigid control of the Internet, and Google eventually pulled out of China despite, the massive, business opportunity there at the time. In terms of, questions going forward, I mean, plainly, we're in a sort of a 24/7 world, and employees routinely do work remotely at home and other places based on the demands of their work and the flexibility of their schedules, and they certainly have access to company documents, as you say, through, corporate accounts and also through sometimes forwarding information through private email like Gmail, which can be problematical. And I would suppose it's important that each business or each governmental entity, you know, think through the importance of the information and confidentiality of the information that's being transmitted and what they want to allow to go across, I would say, the wires or wirelessly or not, and how it should be protected. And there should be guidelines, and it might not be the same for every business, but perhaps for certain types of information, it can only be dealt with at the workplace itself because of concerns. For mm-hmm. other types of information, potentially, it can be sent on secure, you know, corporate networks, but not otherwise. I mean, there certainly can be a concern about sending sensitive information by employees to their own private email accounts and using it otherwise, because then the company or the government doesn't really have control over the level of security. What are your thoughts about that, Jonathan?
I think you're absolutely right, and I think not only do they not have control, but they do have liability. So if an employee were to, let's say, email an employee database, a list of employees, and I don't know, their pension entitlements to his home Gmail account to work on it at home, and that got out into the wild, either because his home computer was stolen or because his Gmail account were compromised, then it's still the employer that's going to have to pick up all of the regulatory issues, and that might involve security breach notifications in the US, in those countries in Europe like Austria and Germany that have security breach notification requirements now. And it might involve the employer having to go cap in hand to data protection regulators here to prove that they had procedures in place to stop this happening. And so I think in part it's going to be technical measures, you know, things like that we've talked about before, Eric, like locking down laptops, using software to trace the laptops when they get lost, technical measures to stop people emailing large documents out of the organization, and so on. But employers are going to have to wake up, I guess, to the fact that their employees can be part of the threat as well as the first line of response.
Absolutely right. I mean, once upon a time, in the brick-and-mortar world, I mean, oftentimes, you know, the real assets of a company were, you know, hard, physical, tangible assets. And now we're, you know, in the information technology age, and the crown jewels really are information assets. And there are now so many means and mechanisms to transmit that information. It's very slippery, and it's difficult to safeguard, you know, true secrets and protect against, you know, security leaks and attacks. And I think, you know, this current Google context points that out. And it's something we're all going to be struggling with, whether you're a business or a governmental entity or even individuals. So I think that's about it. Thank you for joining us for this Tech Law 10 edition. We try to get to you weekly on the intersection of law and information technology, and we have been appreciating your comments for subjects, and we look forward to more of them. You can find both me and Jonathan at the usual places, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. My email is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. And Jonathan, do you want to say yours?
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. One thing to say, that if you want to connect with us via Twitter, LinkedIn, and so on, I think all of the links to those various social media are available from our biogs that are on the Duane Morris site, which is www.duanemorris.com. And thanks very much for listening. We look forward to speaking with you again next week. Meantime, have a safe weekend.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.